Hi, and welcome to Nudges in the Right Direction, a podcast presentation of the Center for Behavioral and Experimental Agri-Environmental Research. I'm your host, Mike McGrath, and we're here today with Dr. Kent Messer of the University of Delaware and Dr. Paul Ferraro of Johns Hopkins University. We're here with Dr. Messer and Dr. Ferraro to discuss CBEAR, this new center sponsored by USDA Economic Research Service. Welcome to our podcast, Nudges in the Right Direction.
So, Dr. Messer and Dr. Ferraro, thanks for joining me today. Do you mind if I call you Kent and Paul?
Please do.
Absolutely.
Great. Well, we're here today to learn a little bit more about CBEAR. You know, there's always this alphabet soup. Could you tell me what CBEAR stands for, Kent?
Well, CBEAR stands for the Center for Behavioral and Experimental Agri-Environmental Research.
And what does CBEAR do anyway?
So CBEAR is part of a larger movement to try to improve public policy and generate credible evidence about what works and under what conditions. So it's specifically focused on agro-environmental issues, agriculture and the environment. It's about improving program deliveries that's coming from the government, state and federal and local, and about generating evidence about how do we make these programs more effective.
And who is sponsoring CBEAR anyway is interested in all these things that you're talking about.
CBEAR was established through funding from the USDA, Department of Agriculture, and their Economic Research Service.
The Economic Research Service. Why are they interested in behavioral economics?
There's been a lot of interest in applying behavioral economics to a variety of government programs, nonprofits, and so forth. In many ways, people are seeing, is there opportunities to make these programs better for the participants, better able to achieve the objectives that they want to do it, and at a lower cost. In this case, the Department of Agriculture is interested in doing it for their portfolio programs to make them better. And that's why we have CBEAR.
Well, that's great to hear that the federal government is interested in improving programs and saving taxpayer money at the same time. That's important work. Now, I know you're involved in this research. Give us some idea of who else is involved in this research across the United States and who's working with you in CBEAR.
There are a lot of great people working on these topics already in academia, in nonprofits, and in the government. CBEAR really tries to bring these people together and to give a forum for sharing ideas, sharing what works, what doesn't work, and growing this. The people that we've got involved are really some of the top people in the country and the world. I'm happy to be co-directing this effort with Paul Ferraro at Johns Hopkins University. We have got outstanding fellows from throughout the country, not only Delaware and Cornell and Johns Hopkins, but also Ohio State, Colorado State, University of Chicago's Department of Economics, Georgia State, Albany State University down in Georgia, and a variety of other leading institutions in academia.
Well, this is very exciting that so many institutions are involved in this, along with USDA. But let's get a little more specific about the research that CBEAR might be looking into. Could you give me some examples of the kind of research that has been done in behavioral economics that might inform our listeners about the kinds of things to expect from CBEAR?
Behavioral economics came from some very small, simple research projects, often in experimental labs involving student subjects. How much would I pay for a mug versus how much would I sell the mug for? And seeing the differences that arise in these settings. As behavioral economics has evolved and as we have learned more about how people behave in economic situations, we want to expand and test how robust are these findings and what possible positive things could result out of our knowledge of this human behavior. And that's really where CBEAR begins to interact, is saying, how do we not look at just a study in a laboratory with students, but how do we actually begin to have controlled trials of different approaches out in the field? And that's where CBEAR is really stepping out and offering something unique, is to really work at a state level, regional level, federal level, to to apply and learn insights and ultimately make these programs better.
Now, you said that you work not only in behavioral economics, but also in experimental economics. Paul, could you tell me just a little bit more about that?
All right, so experimental economics is relatively new, a few decades old, very different from the way economics used to be done in the sense that we just allow the data to be generated by other people and then we would analyze it. But then people said, wait a minute. If we have hypotheses about how to improve this program, how to get farmers to participate, how to get more environmental benefits, why can't we test that hypothesis just like a lab scientist would, where we would basically expose some people to a new version of the program, other people would be the control group, would have the old version of the program, and then we'd see how behavior changes, how impacts change. It's very simple. It's a lot easier than trying to do the big data statistical models, trying to figure out, tease out what's going on in a big complex system. So this allows us to focus in on specific aspects of the system and control them in a careful way that helps us learn about what's going on.
That's very interesting that we can actually do experiments to evaluate how human beings make economic decisions. I think that probably is something that a lot of us think about all the time but don't know much about. So these experiments will look into that, but how about out in agriculture? Could you give a couple of examples of how we might test these principles of behavioral economics as they relate to agriculture and the environment?
In lots of human behaviors, we don't have the time or energy to get all the information. We look to what other people are doing as an inexpensive way to gather information. You go on Amazon, you look at some products, they have these reviews of 1,000 customers like this product. Well, that's good enough for me. I think I'll participate. I don't do all the research trying to figure out every aspect. And the same thing with all these programs. Someone looks to the federal government and the U.S. Department of Agriculture. There's a huge number of programs, all different aspects. It's hard to get information on those. I want to look to others to see what they're doing, but that's an expensive thing to figure out. How do I figure out what others are doing? I have to go talk to my neighbors, go to community meetings, but that's not an easy way to gather information. So if the government, like Amazon, was able to provide farmers with information on what other farmers are doing, other farmers like this program or dislike this program, that may be a very effective way to funnel people into programs that are increasingly becoming popular and figure out what programs are not very popular and why. But we don't have this mechanism like you see online shopping experience for producers in the United States to voice their opinions about different programs.
I can see that CBEAR is on the cutting edge of these adventures and these experiments. So let me ask you this. What in the future, what kind of experiments might you anticipate would happen as a result of the CBEAR collaboration?
Mike, maybe what's helpful if I talk about what we're doing now, because I think we're doing some really exciting things that your listeners might like to hear about. For example, let's look at a project that's ongoing in the state of Georgia. Water use is really important. It's probably more similar to the western parts of the country, where water quantity matters a great deal. Farmers in Georgia have water meters, just as many people would have electric meters in their house or water meters in their house, but they're tracking the water that's being used by farmers. However, right now, the reporting of that water is just done on an annual basis. How much water did a farmer use? Now, that's an important measure, and that's helpful. But if we really think about managing a water resource carefully, we may want to know when they used it. Did they use it in July or in February? What was the process that went in and how much did they use? We want to work with farmers to provide that information in a way that can help better manage water, can help farmers have a better situation for their irrigation and their crops. And so we're working right now to see how can we voluntarily have farmers report this water usage more frequently and what type of incentives and designs can encourage farmers to do so. What we're doing is simply asking farmers to send us their data about what their use of the water was for that month. They send it through an app or a text, and we were able to receive it. And in exchange for that information, they're given varieties of financial payment. And we're testing right now how different payment structures work in terms of compliance, how many people are actually responding with this information, which ones the farmers like best, and ultimately begin to understand the water usage in the state of Georgia.
Well, I'll tell you what, we've learned a lot about CBER today, and I'm looking forward to our future podcasts that are going to explore more about this new field of behavioral economics. So I was glad that you could stop by and spend some time with us today.
Mike, the pleasure's all mine. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thank you, Mike.
Well, thanks to our listeners for tuning in to this podcast series, Nudges in the Right Direction. Interested in listening to more podcasts like this one? Check out centerbear.org/listen. Thanks for tuning in.